worship with you this morning. Go ahead and get off your feet. Come up towards the altar. Let's get into his presence. Hallelujah. Come on, can I see you clap?
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? All right. Got to open up my phone here so we can give you guys some announcements. So today, after second service, we are having our first annual Turkey Bowl. Now, what this means is there's going to be food. There's going to be games. There's going to be prizes. There's going to be a football game played outside by us. We're going to watch a football game in here on the screens. And then my favorite part is at halftime, all the kids get to pie Pastor Spencer in the face. So, I mean, if for anything, stay for that. Like, I'm going to be here just to watch him get pied. So I'm here for it. All right. Number two, if you serve in this church, we want to celebrate you. We want to honor you because we cannot do anything we do on Sunday mornings, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays without our awesome volunteers. So December 11th, which is a Saturday from 5 to 8, we are having a volunteer appreciation dinner thing. If you serve, come and join us. If you need information about it, find your direct leader and we'll give you more information about that. Also, we have a give-a-thon that same day. We're doing a Christmas give-a-thon live on Facebook December 11th at 5:30 p.m. where we'll be blessing our community with gifts so people get to call in, play games, and we're going to give away a whole bunch of stuff just to bless our community. So, pastors.
Praise the Lord. I want you to know my feet are chilly. Converse just don't work. How did you like my hat? I'd like to send a special thank you to the Ludwigs. They were able to, I know, they're right there. They had that hat made for me. I will never be cold in the parking lot again on my head. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Aren't you glad you're alive today? Come on, give God praise. You got breath in your lungs. Hallelujah! God, we thank you. Lord, you blessed us today with breath that we can praise your name together. Lord Jesus, we just want to say we love you. We thank you for being in your presence. And today, God, we're not going to sit back and we're not going to settle back, but we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're going to glorify your name. We're going to lift your name on high. We're going to let every devil in hell know you own us. We're yours. God, we love you. We need you. Every devil in hell. Did you interrupt my prayer?
I still
want the devil to think I was there. I just want to be very clear. I'm not. Not the devil. She has issues today we need to pray for. So now that you interrupted my prayer, would you like to finish?
God, we are yours today. We love you and we worship you. We put working in our lives, Lord. So we just enter into your courts today and into your
let's worship with everything you got. Don't lay anything down. Come on now, give it all.
Bring all of your burdens. Bring all of your scars. Come back to communion. Come back to the star. And run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting. Sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Come on, say that. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. And chains will fall, prisons shake
at the sound of Jesus' name.
And lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love.
The Spirit is here.
Let there be
freedom.
Oh, let there be freedom. Come on, let me see you clap. Like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. Oh, dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. Can you move a little bit? Dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. There you go. He did it. And dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it. He did it. Chains have been broken. He did it. He did it, yeah. Shout like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it. Can you sing that? And shout like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it. And shout like the chains have been broken. He did it. He did it. Where the Spirit Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness
of His love.
For the Spirit is here,
let there be freedom.
we call on your name. Come on, somebody shout that name, Jesus.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain.
Shout that,
your great name, King Jesus. No other name, King Jesus.
And we can call on you.
Things change, yes, when we call on your name.
Sing King Jesus.
King Jesus.
There's power in that
name.
King Jesus.
None strong. We call on your name.
Come on, open up your mouth.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Can you say that out loud?
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Come on, say that.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Jesus. Hallelujah. we're just going to take a couple minutes and just call out the name of Jesus. Just say it out of your mouth. You don't have to be ashamed of that name. That name is the most powerful name we could ever utter from our mouth. Lord Jesus, we just bless your name. We honor your name. We put your name above every other name on earth. Jesus. Can you all just sing that name with me? Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Mountains crumble at the name Jesus. The devil must flee at the name of Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands and sing. Jesus, we welcome you in this place. Jesus, oh, Jesus, we love your name, Jesus, that healing name, Jesus. Name Jesus, that wonderful name Jesus, we bless your name Jesus, there's no one like you Lord Jesus, oh Jesus,
authority over the enemy.
for our God, darkness bow. Before our God, sin must bow. Before our God, who can stand against the
shame? Must, shame must bow. Before our God,
darkness bow. Before our God, sin must bow. Before our God, who can stand against the Lord?
Who can stand against you, Jesus?
Who can stand against the Lord?
Who would dare defile you, Lord?
Who can stand against the Lord? Who can stand against?
Name, every stronghold has to break. As we lift you up in praise, everything must bow down. We will never see defeat, 'cause you reign in victory. In the end, every eye will see that everything must bow down. We declare in Jesus' name, every stronghold has to break. As we lift you up in praise, everything must bow down. We will never see defeat, 'cause you reign in victory. In the end, every eye will see that everything must bow down. We declare in Jesus' name, every stronghold has to break. As we lift you up in praise, everything must bow down. We will never see defeat, 'cause you reign in victory. In the end, every eye will see, everything must bow down. I know everything must bow down. Everything must bow down.
So shame must bow before our God. Bow before our God. Sin must bow before our God. Who can stand against the Lord? Shame must bow before our God. Bow before our God, and sin must bow before our God. Who can stand against the Lord? Who can stand against the Lord? Who can stand against? Who can stand against the Lord? We worship you, Jesus. We honor your name, Lord. We worship you, Father. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
Nothing can stand against.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus, today we thank you so much that you are alive. That on the third day you rose from the dead and that you conquered death, hell, and the grave. We thank you that Jesus, today we are more than conquerors through you. The Father, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It will come against us one way, but it's going to leave seven ways in Jesus' name. We declare that victory is ours in your name. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says it this way. For everyone that is born of God, if you're born again, shout amen.
Amen.
Everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, Jesus is not a fake story. It is not a religious little compilation. He is alive. He is real. He is powerful. And he is involved in your life. And if God says it, God cannot lie. He gave us a promise. He gave us an oath. And we can stand firm upon who God says he is. This is why we have victory. Not because we don't have trouble, but because we overcome the trouble by our faith in God. I love what Shambach said. You don't have trouble. Have faith in God. We must have faith in God. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but I do know this, is that if God is on your side, baby, you keep your eyes on him and you can't fail. You'll walk on water if you got to. Amen? So know today that you have faith. Shout, I got faith.
I have faith.
Some people say, well, Pastor, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. The faith that you have has been given to you, granted to you by God. Everybody in this room has faith. Everybody has faith. God has given us faith. Now, we can increase faith, but I want you to know today, you've got enough faith to have victory in your life as a man and woman of God. And it's time to put your shoulders back. Put your head high. Stop dragging your lip on the ground and declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. When you understand that, you can't live the same way the world does. You can't talk the same way the world does. Some of you saw my post this week. We were watching Bill Winston. We love Bill Winston. And Bill Winston said this, there are two worlds. There are two languages, there are two thought processes, and there are two actions and reactions because of the two worlds. We're either going to respond according to the word of God, the kingdom of God. We're going to speak either the word of God or the enemy. We're going to think either the thoughts of God or the thoughts of the flesh. And everything depends upon how we are going to act and react in these two worlds. And I want to challenge you today. You have all the faith that you need to live a victorious life, to talk right, to think right, to act right, to live right. Jesus has given you all that you need. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can you go find three people you do not know and say this morning, I've got the victory. How about you? Come on now, put them on the spot. How about you? Now listen, if someone is uncomfortable, that's all right. Let them be. on now. Don't be a snob. Find somebody you don't know. At least turn around behind you and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Marvelous Santa Claus. Marvelous Pam. Praise the Lord. Good morning. You may be seated today. My wife, I do have a wife out there somewhere. There she is. Praise God. You know what they say is that the Sunday after Easter is the lowest attended church service of the entire year.
You are just misspeaking today. Thanksgiving, no, but that would be.
Thanksgiving, would I say Christmas?
Easter.
Oh, Easter.
Wrong season, even.
I was thinking about riding the Harley today.
Wow.
I had to think about Easter.
There is no way he would take his Harley out because there's salt on the road, and that would be a crime, right?
I'm glad you're here. Can you turn to someone and say, thank you for being in the house of God?
Thank you for being in the house of God.
I love messing up what other people say it should be. I thank God that you're here. I thank God you're here to hear the word.
Amen.
We have folks from Kentucky here. Glory to God.
Love you.
Amen. And we are blessed that you're going to hear the word. I got a word for you, man. You better get a pen out. That's all I got to say. Get a pen out. Get your Bible out. You're going to mess things up today. It's going to be good. Welcome, Pastor Rhonda Jean Spencer.
Wow. All right. That full name. Amen. We're entering into the time of worship where we give our tithes and our offerings. And we do this with great joy. This house is a house full of tithers. We love to tithe because we've gotten to enjoy the benefits and the promises that God has for those that tithe, that he'll rebuke the devourer, that he will open the windows of heaven, that you will overflow. Being a tither is wise. And so the word of God tells us in Malachi 3 to bring all the tithe into my house. Bring all the tithe. And the word tithe simply means 10%. It's not something a man made up, a person tried to decide to do this. No, this is the Bible. This is what God has to say. As important as salvation is the rest of the word of God. And when we're obedient to it, we get to enjoy the blessings. And in Matthew, I love the one in Matthew where Jesus, red letter, looks at his disciples and he says, you tithe. This you ought to do. So we're not looking for a way out of tithing in this house. We get excited when it's time to give because we know the promises of God and we've gotten to walk in them and enjoy them. So if you're ready to give this morning, stand to your feet. We make a supernatural declaration from the word of God, and I never want this to become religious. Every time we say it and declare it, when the word goes forth, it performs what it is sent to do. So you can expect this week blessing, favor, promotions, expansion, increase. Expect this week because we're declaring the word of the Lord and it does not return void. So let's share that together. It says, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the
the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, don't miss out. Click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
We want to keep Pastor Chad in prayer and Sister Jade. Pastor Jade, they are in South Africa right now. And as you've heard, they're shutting down America to South Africa. And thank God they're Americans. They'll be able to come home. We're just praying they are able to get home soon. Amen. So, it's going to be very interesting. Pastor Chad said that their flights are not canceled. They're supposed to leave next Thursday or this coming Thursday. But they're going to try to get out sooner because what happens? The airlines shut down their flights because they don't have enough people on them. So we just want to keep them in prayer. The great part is if you've read the studies already on this new variant, and that is that simply it's like a insignificant impact. So it has very little impact on anybody. That was in Fox News yesterday on like a little cold. That's pretty much all that it is. And I thank God that the church, the body of Christ, doesn't live in fear anyways. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, fear is the reason that Job got sick. Everybody says, well, you know what it was God just God lifted the veil off him. Actually, no, Job lifted the veil off himself. The thing that he feared the most came upon him. So if you got fear in your life about something in your life, then you better get rid of that thing because the enemy will use that as the door of opportunity to come into your life. Say amen or oh my. That was free. Glory to God. Had nothing to do with the sermon. I'm very excited about the message today. I might preach a full 45 minutes, if not more. You know one thing I love about his tabernacle is we've never been built on worship. I thank God for our worship. We believe in worship. We must have worship. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. But the fact is that we've always, from the very first day, declared this to be a word church. What does that mean? Faith does not come by worship. Faith comes by hearing the word. So we are a word church. Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I believe the word.
I believe the word.
The word is above all things. No matter what the word says. I believe the word, because God cannot lie. Now, you see, when you get that in your spirit, everything changes about reading the Bible. It's not just about reading a verse and singing kumbaya. Say amen. But it's about you and I learning and understanding that if God says it, it is so. And today, we're going to have a very interesting time. I want to talk about, as this is a year to... That was so weak. All right, here we go. This is the year to... Change for this whole year. We've been challenging where we are and moving forward in our walk with God, moving forward in our faith, moving forward in our jobs, moving forward in our families. We have made a choice that we refuse to be the same people we were at the beginning of 2021. I refuse to be the same person. I refuse to look back and say, well, nothing has changed. I want you to know that that is not positive for your life. That is negative for your life. Why? Because God is always moving. And if you're not moving, that means you left behind. See, God is constantly on the move. God is not standing still. God is not sitting down. God's not taking a break. He didn't take Sunday off. Amen. God is moving. So when you and I are not moving, when we're not changing forward, then we have got to recognize we're missing God. That's free too. Amen. Today I want to talk about the number one thing that I have found as a secret attack from the devil to keep you from changing forward. It is a powerful principle that I've watched people become disqualified by. I've watched people literally just simply slide away and disappear. And I want to talk today about shame. The devil loves the shame game. Shame is an amazing thing because nobody can see it. You can have a smile on your face and be living in shame. You can act victorious but live in shame. You can walk around, everybody thinking everything's fine and dandy, but you got shame in your heart. And I want you to know that the devil loves shame. He loves to work against your changing forward with a principle called shame. Where does shame come from? Well, we know that shame comes from sin. Now, we know that everybody on this planet, for all were born into sin. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says we have the Adamic nature. We have the nature of Adam, the fallen man. The first Adam brought death, the scripture says, but the second Adam brought life. When we became born again, how many of you are born again? Shout amen. Amen. We became born again. We became different people. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're no longer of the same nature. According to Peter, we now have a new nature. It is the nature of God, the very nature of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he dwells inside of you. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are not the same individual. You do not think the same. You do not act the same. You do not walk the same. You do not live the same. You don't have the same destination you had before you called upon his name. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You are a different individual. So the devil has to strive to keep you in a place of shame so that you do not constantly move forward. Shame is devastating. And I don't know who you are, but I know this. It don't matter. Everybody in this room has dealt with shame. Everybody in this room has sinned after they got saved. Well, I don't sin. Well, glory to God. I want to get close to you. We don't have to sin. And this is where shame comes in. Once you're born again, your nature has changed. You are no longer a slave to sin, as it says in Romans chapter 6. So what happens now, every time we sin, we literally have to override the Holy Spirit. We have to tell the Holy Spirit, take a back seat. I'm going to start living my life for me. The Bible says it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. But what happens when we sin, we're taking back ownership of our life and determining that we're going to do whatever we want, and we don't really care about the consequences. Now, when you're born again, that works until like a millisecond after you sinned. The moment after you sin, all of a sudden now you're dealing with shame. You're starting to deal with guilt. Man, I can't believe I did that. Wow, how stupid. Why in the world? And then the devil starts to capitalize on this thing called shame. Now I want you to know this is very prominent in the scripture, which is good because that shows us how to deal with it. Now we've read this verse so many times, but you know, this time I looked at it very different. I've had a phenomenal week just playing with this verse and another portion that we're going to touch today. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 54, we're going to read through 62. And they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." After a while, someone even looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I am not one of them," Peter said. About an hour later, so you got to get this now. He didn't just do this once. Now you know that the moment he denied Jesus the first time, immediately guilt started coming in. Immediately he started feeling conviction. Immediately he started feeling shame come upon his life. And then a short time later, somebody else said, "No, no, no, I think you're with him." "No, no, no, the Bible says he retorted," which means it was snappy. "Listen, I don't even know him." And then the third time, Peter retorted after about an hour later. So he's sitting there another hour. Someone insisted, "This must be one of them because he's a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't even know what you're talking about." And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. At the moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed before Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard and wept bitterly. What's very interesting is understanding how Peter got in this position. How you and I allow shame to disqualify us. How is it that Peter, who was a great man of strength, a great man of authority, come on now, he was a man of authority. He was a man that was unashamed, unabashed about his relationship with Jesus Christ. He was one that, listen, he had knee-mouth disease, but he had knee-mouth disease for Jesus. He was willing to do whatever needed to be done to get the glory of God to Christ, his Lord. So I'm here to tell you that one of the mistakes that you make is when you're overconfident. This usually happens to those saints that are a little bit older. "Well, you know, I know where I came from. I got myself all battened up, man. I'm good. You know, I don't even sin that way. I don't even think that way anymore. I would never do that kind of stuff." Oh, come on now. Don't you ever say "I would never." When somebody gets so confident that they actually forget that our strength doesn't come from our confidence, but our strength comes from the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Our strength comes as we're submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now, let's talk about Peter. Peter said this in Mark chapter 14, verse 29. He said, "Even if everybody else denies you, I won't." Tell you, it's very easy to say that. Very easy to say that when no pressure's on you. Matthew 26:35. Peter insisted, "Even if I die with you, I will not deny you." And all the other disciples said, "Yeah, me too." John 18:10. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. So here's Peter, man. He said, "Jesus, man, I'm not even going to deny you. I'll die for you. There's no way I'm going to walk away from you." And even in the garden, when they tried to snatch him, he grabbed his sword with great confidence and sliced the ear off the servant of the high priest. I want you to know, Peter, he was radical. Peter, he was crazy. Peter, he was intense with his relationship with the Lord. But he got so confident that he forgot. Bible says in Luke chapter 22, he says this, "Simon, Simon," oh, I love this portion, "Simon, Simon," now, when my wife says Michael James, it's time to pay attention. Anybody else get your double name? Anybody else say, maybe when you're a kid, your mama say, "Hey, Rhonda Jean." Did your mother ever say Rhonda Jean? My mother always said, Michael James. Michael James. You knew you were in trouble when you got the double name. Turn to someone and say, did you ever get the double name? Come on, ask somebody right now in your house, did you ever get the double name? Simon, Simon, behold, which means pay attention. Michael James, pay attention. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus made sure that he, listen, Carla is so funny. You know, Carla, she's like the one of the admins, is she was for a long time. And now it's Brittany. She runs the beast here. You know, it's just awesome. Thank God for Brittany. But I remember when Carla was like the admin, she would come up to me and she'd go like this, Pastor, Pastor, right here, right here, right here, right here. Pay attention. Pastor, I'm talking to you. I wanted to break her fingers. But she was saying the same thing Jesus was saying. Simon, 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 behold. Come on now, pay attention. He didn't pay attention. You see, when we don't pay attention to the warning of the Lord, then it's very easy to fall, even though we're confident. We've got to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Because the enemy, man, he is like a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. He might be toothless, but when we give him the entry into the house, can I hear an amen? Then we're offering shame to him, and he will play the shame game with you so strong that it'll actually try to get you to disconnect from God's kingdom. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you. Get this now. Jesus prayed for Peter. No. Come on now. No, really, really. Jesus talked to the Father about Peter. Father, man, you know the mess up this guy is. You know all the trouble I had with him. But Father, I'm asking that he won't be lost. I'm asking that he won't lose faith. Father, I'm asking that you'll move on my behalf. The Bible says that Jesus is praying for you. Just like he prayed for Peter, Jesus is praying for you. I want you to know you got a prayer partner that you can't even imagine. He only prays the truth because he's the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's God himself. So therefore, he can only pray the will. And if he prays the will, you know it's going to be done. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you, come on now, that should have been like a designer clothing right there. When, he didn't say if. Has anybody ever sinned once after you got saved? How many of y'all know you got your little demon, your own little demon? You got your own little sin that you struggle with. Can I hear an amen? Man, you struggle with that thing. You don't let anybody know. Husbands and wives, you might not even let your wife or your husband know. This is your battle that you struggle with. And you know what? The fact is that it's not always if, sometimes it's when. And you thought you conquered that beast. Can I hear an amen? You thought you have complete victory over the beast. Can I hear an amen? You thought you had your mind in order. Can I hear an amen? You thought you had your mouth in order. Can I hear an amen? You thought you had your, come on now. You thought you had order. But all of a sudden, it wasn't an if anymore in your life. It became a when. Anybody ever deal with a when before? Anybody ever deal with a struggle before that you just thought you'd already conquered that thing? Man, I know folks, they were in Bible school and they got so cocky, but when they got out of Bible school, they fell to the same sin they had before they were saved. You know, I have friends from Bible college that no longer serve Jesus. Never mind, they're not in the ministry. They no longer are following God. They fell to the same sins that they had before they were born again. Jesus said, when you get up, which means, now, Peter, I want you to pay attention because you're going to fall here. You're going to make a bad choice. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. Oh, it's awful quiet in the house this morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, this is where the enemy capitalizes, because he knows that you have victory over sin. He knows you are no longer a slave to sin. He knows you no longer are owned by your old sinful nature. He knows you have the power and the authority to overcome anything. He knows that nothing can hold you in captivity, because the anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. He knows that. So when we make a poor choice, he loves the shame game. You loser. I can't believe you did that. You know better. Everybody's gonna know. That's one of his favorites. Everybody's gonna know. Everybody's gonna stare at you in church on Sunday. No, really, he does that. I can't even count the amount of time somebody said, I know that someone looked at me and knew what I did. People don't know what you do. Mind your own stinking business. Can I hear an amen? I said, mind your own stinking business. You got enough trash in your own backyard. You don't need to come pick up somebody else's. Say amen. And when you get up, which means you're going to crash. He was so confident. Jesus, I will never deny you, even if everybody else does. Jesus, I'll die for you. Even if nobody else is going to die for you, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to be so passionate, I'm going to cut the ear off of Malchus, the high priest's servant. But he forgot something. He forgot that Jesus said to him, listen now, the devil's desiring to sift you as wheat. Do you know why sifting is important? Because it takes out the chaff. Do you know what the chaff is? It's the hard part that's not edible. Do you know why the enemy comes in our life and shakes us up sometimes? Because the enemy's trying to destroy you with the shame game. But why does God allow tribulation? Now, I didn't say sin. I said tribulation. He is not going to stop temptation. You're all going to be tempted. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You're all going to be tempted to sin. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
It's impossible for you not to be tempted with sin. You're still in a sinful world. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The temptation is not the sin. The enemy can't use shame with the temptation. He can only use shame when you bit the fruit. All of a sudden, you bit that fruit. You know, it's not the first time this story is being told. You go all the way back to Genesis. Powerful. I had so much fun. How many times have I read these verses? Probably thousands. But what's awesome is when God makes something alive to you, not only because of what others are going through, but watching what the, you know what the devil hates the most? He hates being unveiled. He hates it when one of his tactics is now revealed. Why does he hate it? Because now you know that when the shame comes, now you know after you've repented. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You know that when shame comes, you know who he is. Come on now. He just put on a peacock's outfit and says, it's me. But if you're not aware, then you don't know the peacock. And all of a sudden, shame gets you. You start giving up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. Jesus hasn't abandoned you. Jesus hasn't walked away from you. God hasn't said, see, they're worthless. No, 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 no. We do that to ourselves. Because we allow shame to become part of our lives. When God has said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But after you get saved, he said this, because he said, you know, when you sin, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you very much. One of the pastors helped me. Here we go. Ready? I'm almost done. Not true. Genesis. I love Genesis. You know, because remember I talked about the law of first mention? The law of first mention is when you see something happen the very first time, you know there's always a pattern with. So I want to remind you, the Bible says the devil, his tactics have never changed. Shame has always been part of his armor. He has always loved to use shame against people that God has purpose for. Because if he can shame you enough, if you can accept the shame in your life, you will literally abandon God's purpose for you. You'll walk away from God and you'll go back to the, come on now, you'll go back to the one who hated you in the first place, but he'll have great victory that he won you back. Amen. Adam and Eve. Nope, I didn't say Adam and Steve. I said Adam and Eve. I don't know where that came from, but there were only two genders. I had two children. I had three children. Had three, right? Three. Three children, two boys and a girl, different apparatus, different functions. Amen. Only two genders. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you're a brainwashing church. Of course we are. Washing your mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. God made male and female. We see the temptation of Adam and Eve. It's very interesting because you automatically start seeing something right here in Genesis, but then you see the repeat all the way up in Luke. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said, the devil said, did God actually say? You see, did God actually say, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Did God say that?
Yes.
That's the word of God, correct? Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Did he say that or not say that? So if God said it, what does that mean? It's true. So if you confess, what happens? He forgives you. What happens with forgiveness? The Bible says he throws your sins as far as the east of the west and remembers them no more. So every time you bring it up and he goes, huh? Every time you bring up your past sin that you confess, every time you bring up your past sin that you ask God to wash your sins away from, every time you bring it up, God says, I don't know what you're talking about. I distinctly remember forgetting that. So what happens is if God says you're forgiven if you ask forgiveness, but then shame comes, is that God or not God? You got to identify that. Because when you sin, I didn't say if, when you fall, I didn't say if, when you choose wrongly, I didn't say if, when you get up, which means you got to recognize that what God says is true. That if you confess, he'll forgive you and wash you clean, throwing in your sin as far as the east of the west remembers it no more. Therefore, that you are a perfectly clean child. Anybody ever change a diaper before? Yeah. When I got married, I said, I don't do the double D's. Diapers and dishes. I do dishes now. Boy, she tells a lot, doesn't she? Take her out, Isaac. You ever have, I mean, if you don't have kids yet, you know what I'm talking about. But all of a sudden you're carrying your child and you hear. And all of a sudden you start seeing it seep up from the back of the diaper. It's green. Why is it always green? And now it's on your arm. Whew. Now, I personally have never experienced this because I didn't change any diapers, but I can only tell you what I've known. And so all of a sudden, it's not true. I did change diapers. Remember, I had the kids up at the office for a year while you were working. Phew. Had to qualify that. I felt shame come on me. Quiet down up there, please. She talks too much. Man. So all of a sudden, it's now time to change. To take this child. Do you take this child and chuck the kid in the garbage? You're messy. Gotta go. You look at the 3-month-old and say, I told you not to poop your pants again. And if you did, you're gone. Nope. You take the child, and it's always messy. Take the child, lay the child down. You got to have something under it because you know now everything is all green. And there's that smell that goes with that green. And all of a sudden, you undo the flaps. See, I know what I'm talking about. You undo the flaps. And you gotta have the baby wipes ready. You can't say, can I have one, please? No, you gotta have 17 of them ready. Because you know you can't use 5. You can't use 10. You know it's already running up the child's back. You know it's already on your arm. You know this is nasty and messy. You can smell it. So you get ready. You start cleaning the child. You start cleaning. You pull out of the diaper bag. You know, you pull out the new one. You put it on the child. And child's clean. And then you look at the child and say, you're worthless. You pooped your pants. Oh, you don't do that? Oh, then why do you think God does that to you? See, that's the power of shame. Shame says, yeah, you pooped. Yeah, come on now. You ask forgiveness. But yeah, come on. God's going to throw you out anyways. Nope. See, the power of shame, it brings us to the place of disconnect. With Adam and Eve, it was not much different. Here Eve is, and the enemy's talking. And the enemy's saying, listen now, did God actually say? So the enemy is always going to question what God says. Shame will always question forgiveness. Maybe I've gone too far. Maybe I've done too much. Maybe God can't forgive me this time. Ooh. Am I identifying with anybody in the room? Or am I just all preaching to myself? Come on now. I don't mind preaching to myself. But, you know, I think this really is applicable. Don't you think it's applicable? Don't you think this is maybe some of your lives? Or maybe some of you are so strong. Hey, when? You shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, do not eat of fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it. I want you to know that God never told her not to touch it. Don't add to what God said. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was made desirable to be one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some. To her husband, and he was one, and who was with her, and he ate it. Then, come on now, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Isn't it amazing that when they sinned, they tried to justify themselves? They tried to hide the sin. Do you realize what people do all the time? I see it all the time as a pastor. Where you been? All right? Yeah, I'm fine. Glory to God. I love Jesus. You liar. You're going to burn in hell for that. Be honest. Pastor, I screwed up. I feel stupid. I feel ashamed. I feel that God can't forgive me. And then you're going to get the word. Wow. If you confess, God's going to wash your sins away. Come on now. When? Come on now. Not if, but when. When you get up, encourage other people that God's forgiveness is not just for a moment, but that when your buttocks is clean, he's not going to throw you away. God's never going to give up on you. Can I hear an amen? I said God's never going to give up on you. I said God's never going to give up on you. Woo! If it only excites me, I'm happy. And the Lord heard the sound of the, and then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And the man said to his wife, hide yourself. Can I give you a little hint? The first person that people in sin hide themselves from is God, but then it's always the preacher. When you don't show up, it's not like I go, I wonder if they're okay. No, I'm going, what did they do? I have people like when I'm walking at the mall, they'll go to the other side. So we chase them down. You're going to find that when sin is in your life, the very first thing you're going to want to do is hide from God. You're going to want to say, well, maybe it's all over. Maybe I can't go to church anymore. Everybody's going to know what I've done. I feel shame in my life. I can't even pray anymore. Aren't you glad Jesus is praying for you while you can't pray for yourself? Come on now. Woo! But the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? I believe that's the saddest verse in the Bible, by the way. I heard the sound of you in the garden and was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself. Do you realize this is the first time fear ever was seen on the planet? It's the first time fear was ever part of anybody's life. Is because they weren't right with the Lord. When fear is a part of your life, you're not right with God. You can lie to yourself all you want. You can say, no, I'm all good. No, I got the best prayer life I ever had before. You're lying to yourself. Because perfect love casts out all fear. So when you're in fear, you're not in perfect love. And if you're not in perfect love, then you're not in perfect relationship. If you're not in perfect relationship, then you're living something in sin. And fear is sin because it's the opposite of faith. But the Bible says anything done outside of faith is sin. And I want you to realize you cannot please God without faith. For it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We've got to recognize that we've got to get back to God. I don't know where you are, but you got to get back to Jesus Christ. You got to get back to faith. You got to get back to your walk with God. You got to get back with Jesus. Got to get rid of the shame, baby. But you got to get back right with God. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
If you're hiding yourself, you're hiding yourself because you're in shame. You know what I found? Can I teach you something? If you repent quick, God always covers your sin. If you won't repent, God will reveal it to save you from yourself. Let me say it one more time. If you're quick to repent, what is repentance? I'm no longer going this way, sin. I'm going this way. Relationship with God. When you choose that, you will find that God will bring relief. But when you allow shame to rest on you, it's called the spirit of heaviness. That just came to me, by the way. What's a spirit? A spirit is an actual demon. You know, Christians in America, we don't believe in demons. The world does. They pray to them. They talk to them. They conjure them. They want them to talk to them from the dead. They can't. It's a demon. By the way, if you played with the occult, what is the occult? That is any witchery. Come on now. That is if you are a person that is going to a soothsayer, a fortune teller, you're going to a psychic, you've opened yourself up to demon spirits. And they'll work in your life to destroy you. You need to turn from your sin. That was sin. Say amen. Amen. You're trying to make me feel shamed. No, I'm trying to save your life. If you didn't feel any shame, shame on you. You know you've sinned too far when you no longer feel even conviction. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my... I got to do something because I got to keep going. Peter. You know what? Peter, how many of you know Peter messed up? He didn't deny Jesus once. He didn't deny Jesus twice. He denied Jesus three times. He was even forewarned. You're going to do this three times before you hear the cock crow. But there's something that every one of us have got to come to a reality to. Even though Peter did stupid stuff, he passionately loved Jesus. You know, sometimes we are so judgmental. We see somebody do something stupid. So as believers, we kick them down. Pow! We see somebody sin that, man, we just never thought would ever sin. And instead of restoring them, pow! They must never have loved God in the first place. Peter passionately loved Jesus. Peter passionately served Jesus. Peter passionately loved his Lord. Oh, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. But even though he was passionately in love with Jesus, he still sinned. And when he sinned, oh man, this is the powerful part. You ready? After the third denial, the Bible says, watch this. Jesus turned and looked at him. Jesus wasn't already looking at him. He made a conscious choice, a conscious decision. He is the Lord God Almighty, getting ready to die on an old rugged cross. But he took the time to turn, to look into the eyes of Peter, not with condemnation, but with the reminder, when you get up, Peter, remember, I'm prayed for you. I talked to the Father about you already. The angels are there. Come on now. You're not going to stay down, Peter. His eyes said it all. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. He looked into the eyes of Peter. Said, I didn't give up on you. Don't you give up on yourself. Some of you have given up on yourself. Some of you say, man, God can't ever want me. God can't ever use me. All the things I've done, all the things I've been, all the things I've been to, everything I've ever done. God will never forgive me. God will never let me go. I'm telling you right now, if Jesus took the time to turn, to stare into the eyes of Peter, you know he's looking at you too. And if you got breath, your purpose is not complete. I don't know what you're going through. Peter ran away and he wept bitterly. The word bitterly means violently. He didn't go, You ever cry so deep that you actually feel it inside, like your stomach is like, when you get up from that cry, you literally are hurting because you cried so violently. Peter cried so deeply that he actually, the Bible says he wept bitterly or violently. Yet I want you to recognize, even though it looked like it was all over, even though in his own head, He said he was a failure, a loser. How could Jesus, the Messiah, ever use my life again? I want you to know that Jesus never gave up on him. Jesus is not giving up on you. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know what I've done. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. It don't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. But if you stay down, you can't go anywhere. Get up. Get up. Don't give up. Don't allow shame to embrace you. Don't allow shame to apprehend the vision that God has for you. Don't you allow shame to disembark you from your destiny and your purpose. If Peter had, we wouldn't have books of the Bible. If Peter had, Cornelius' family wouldn't have been saved. If Peter had, then all the people that he was the apostle of the Jews to would not have heard the gospel. Don't you dare give up. You're changing forward, which means you're probably going to fall more than once. You're going to struggle in more than one area. Because whenever you change, it always brings up the weak parts. You see, if you're never changing, you only ever make strong what you're in control of. But the moment you're changing, you're unveiling the weak parts of your life that you've hidden. But God wants them unveiled so you can make them your strength and not your weakness. But it might mean you're going to fall. Don't stay down. People need you. Pastor, I'm in it right now. Pastor, I'm so engulfed right now. I can't even see the shore now. I can't see any light now. I feel so guilty even sitting here now. I hear the message, Pastor, but I don't know. Can God actually forgive me? Will God actually wash me? Will God actually make me a new person? And I've got great news for you. He will. But not just will, he wants. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I don't know where you are with God. Nobody can tell. Just you and God know that. You and God are the only ones who know the truth. You and God are the only ones who actually know whether if you take your last breath, you're going to see him face to face. Only you and God know, because you can fake so well. The greatest deceiver has never been the devil. The greatest deceiver is ourselves. Today, if you're not right with God, you're watching online, you're here in the room, you're watching by television. Oh, the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. He loves you so much. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stay down. Don't you dare play the shame game. Repent. Turn. Change the diaper and you'll be clean. Be clean. There's nothing better than a clean diaper on a child. Kids cry. They stick their hands down it. They get more messy. They smear it. If they know their letters, you can tell they know their letters. When you stay in sin, it only gets messier. But when you turn, he cleans you up from the inside out. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you know you're not right with God. You know that right now you're not right with God, and you want to get right with Jesus. I want to invite you to be clean. It might take, come on now, it might take 17 wipes, but you're going to be all right because Jesus is praying for you. And the blood of Jesus washes away every stain. This morning, with your heads bowed, if you need Christ, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you very much. I see that in the back. You can put it right back down. I see you. I got you. Amen. Anybody else? Come on, not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2. You know what's amazing? How bold, how brazen can you actually be knowing you're not right with the Lord and choosing not to choose Christ? I've seen some pretty muscular dudes in my day that I probably would never come up against. But anybody willing to do that, you're more brazen than any bully. You're willing to reject the blood of Jesus to save your pride and to live in shame. 5, get your hand up. 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Today, if you're dealing with shame in your life, the prayer team's coming to the front of the altar right now. If you raise your hand for salvation, Amanda's over here. If you go up, you're wondering where Mindy is and Pastor Cody is. They're preaching up in Ithaca this morning. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to make your way right out of your chair. Some of the people were young people. Young people, make sure you're brazen. Get right on up here. Bring mom and dad with you. They'll come with you. Me and Amanda right here. If you're dealing with shame this morning and you want shame to get out of your life, you deserve that. Can you say that out loud? I deserve to have no shame in my life. If that's you and you need prayer, these folks are right here right now. Come right out of your chair right now. Come right out of your chair right now. Come right out of your chair right now. If you need freedom from shame, freedom from shame. Don't you let your pride hold you back from God's best from your life. Those guys are right there. They want to get saved. Bring them on over here, boys. Come on over here, Giants. Bring them right over there. Amen. Father, I declare that this is the greatest year of our lives, that we have changed forward, not changed backwards, not changed sidewards, and not stopped. But God, as you have moved, we have moved. As the pillar of fire has moved, we have moved. Jesus will do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Lord, I bind the spirit of heaviness in the name of Christ. You lying demon spirit who's holding down the children of God, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to loose the children of God. I said, go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Let that spirit of heaviness rise right off you. You're going to feel a freedom right now. If that's you, lift your hands and start praising him right now. Come on now. I rebuke the spirit of fear. Come on now. If you felt that heaviness lift off you, raise your hands and start thanking him right now. Come on, give him a spirit of praise, not the spirit of heaviness. Be free in Jesus' name. God, I just declare your goodness in this house. I call forth great harvest, Father. We put our hands to the plow, Lord. We've been on TV, Lord Jesus, for over 8 years. Lord, they say there's 15,000 to 20,000 people that watch every single week. We call in a tithe of them right now. We put the scythe and the sickle into the field, and we call in the harvest of God. We call in those souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, You told Oral Roberts that one of the great sins of the church was that they'd never brought in the harvest. They seeded, but never brought in the harvest. We call in that harvest now in Jesus' name. That we'll see more souls saved in these last days than ever before. That we'll make the greatest impact than ever before for the glory of God. And everybody else said, I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you bring somebody next week. They need to hear the gospel. Be bold. Be strong. Be forthright with Jesus.